Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dr. Philip Wong is on the line from Dallas County. Dr. Wong, thank you so much, as always, for the time. We appreciate you keeping us filled in.
Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to really hone in on contact tracing. I know this has been kind of the next step in trying to get on top of the fight against COVID-19. Where is Dallas County right now in contact tracing? What developments have been made there, especially over the last few weeks as numbers continue to rise?
Well, one of the things, I mean, actually contact tracing is something we do all the time in other infectious diseases. You know, STIs and TB. And we've been doing this from the start. Lately, last week, we actually launched a new part of this. We're partnering with Parkland Hospital, Parkland Center for Clinical Innovation, to try to use some of the technology now. So what we launched last week is that every person who tests positive, that we get a report that also has a cell phone number identified. Within 24 hours of our getting the report, they'll get a text message with a link to a survey for them to fill out some of the basic information, as well as for them to list any contacts, close contacts that have been within 6 feet for 15 minutes or more that they can identify, that then we can follow up.
Do you talk also about where those people have been in the last few weeks as far as gatherings and things like that?
You know, part of our investigation, we try to contact the cases also, and that's part of the survey instrument that they're given a link to. But also when we do some of the in-person interviews, you know, identify some of the, you know, where they've been, what, you know, other health conditions they have, and other information.
Does Dallas County see any correlation specifically between bars, the opening of bars, and the increase in cases that we've seen in Dallas County?
You know, I mean, I think what we see is more general, certainly, correlation with around, you know, starting around the Memorial Day weekend time, when things started opening up in general. I think that simultaneously, when things opened up, people thought, hey, we don't have to think about this anymore, and relaxed in terms of the 6 foot physical distancing, you know, wearing the cloth facial coverings, all of that sort of simultaneously relaxed. And so the increased numbers and the real, you know, the large increase we're seeing is related to that in general. So it's not any specific thing, but it's all of those sort of combined.
There's that caution fatigue, I think, is what people are calling it. Have you heard of any good ways to deal with that caution fatigue? And how are you trying to get the word out about helping people to deal with that and push through that to make sure that we keep our guard up, if that makes sense?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it has to be the new normal. This is what, you know, the science and, you know, studies from other countries that, you know, do the universal masking. I think, you know, we're getting more and more information that if we can really get that universal masking, it can effectively slow down the spread of it. And it can be our pathway to try to safely open up the economy. And I think that's a good trade-off, but it has to be sort of just the normal thing, is sort of like the habit that you get into. And, you know, it just needs to be part of our routine.
I have seen, and I'm sure you have too, many people, and I'm not talking about in the medical field, saying that, well, you know, just look at the correlation. It was protesting that did this. That's why we're having a big jump. Is there any correlation that you guys can see in the contact tracing between protests and the jump in COVID-19 numbers?
You know, again, I think that we're seeing more of that general opening up that occurred probably around Memorial Day weekend. You know, if you look at the numbers, you know, that opening up affected probably the entire population, where more people were going to, you know, whether more the restaurants, bars, other things, which is a large segment and proportion of the population. You know, certainly we've had, I mean, a couple of people said, yes, I went to protest. You don't know exactly where someone might have gotten the infection. But I think that what we're seeing is that it's more related to this broad opening up of things.
What do you recommend for people in outdoor gatherings? Because obviously face masks are a lot less common when people are outdoors.
Right. You know, but it's the same things. You know, if you're going to be close, I mean, you really need to keep the 6-foot distancing, need to keep the face cloth facial coverings, you know, still do the hand washing or hand sanitizer use, but limit the numbers again. That 100 or less is now in the governor's order, except for those that are exempted. And, you know, that's same principles.
Anything you want to add about the next steps for contact tracing? I know you talked about right off the top what you're doing to contact those people within 24 hours. Is there a next step or a next plan for that? And do you have currently the people power to continue to follow up as these cases continue to rise?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a couple things. One, you know, from the very start of this, we said, when the numbers were very low, we said we're going to try to contain this initially, and that's part of through the case investigation and contact tracing. But as the numbers would get higher, and if they got higher, then it would take then that mitigation, which is what the judge's orders, the stay home, stay safe, were when you get to those large numbers. And so when you get to really large numbers, you can't, you know, call every person. Like, we don't call every person who gets the flu and ask who their contacts with. And so, unfortunately, the numbers that we're seeing now are highest that we've ever seen. You know, we had hoped to get the mitigation, to have the stay home and stay safe, get the numbers down. And then when you get the numbers down, when then the numbers are manageable, you can sort of identify each case, identify the contacts, and snuff out that cluster. Unfortunately, now our numbers were like twice the number we were just 2 weeks ago. It's now even getting larger. I think we're having record numbers reported every day. So we have been approved by the commissioner's court to increase our staffing for contact tracing. You know, we're in the process of hiring 260 new contact tracers. But I mean, have to keep in mind, our numbers right now are much higher again than they were even 2 weeks ago. So contact tracing is one important piece of this, but these other, the prevention, you know, having everyone wear the cloth facial coverings, 6-foot physical distancing, all those are the things that are going to really slow this down and get it to a manageable level.
The positivity rate running somewhere around 14% over the weekend for Texas. I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure what it is in Dallas County right now. What does that say deeper than, you know, just the percentage numbers? Why should we be so concerned when the positivity rate skyrockets like it has in the last few weeks?
Yeah, the positivity rate is one other indicator. It's one of the things, so it is dependent on the amount of testing and who's being tested. You know, earlier on, we were concerned there was a lot of testing efforts going in the rural areas of Texas where there were no COVID cases. So if you do too many of those tests, then you're going to sort of dilute those numbers. We've actually been reporting in our Tuesday and Friday reports just the percent positives in the hospitals. But even that was changing because hospitals were changing some of the policies and testing everyone before they get surgery or everyone who comes in to deliver a baby. And then initially those numbers were really low and were sort of lowering that positive percentage rate. Now, even in the hospitals, I mean, our last report is that almost 27% of those tests in the hospitals are coming back positive. And what it indicates is just sort of that general circulation of how much COVID is present in our population in general.
Great point. I was wondering if that was the case at this point. So it just goes to show it is spreading. It continues to spread. Is it to a point, and when does it get to a point where people just start throwing their hands up and talking about herd immunity? How do we keep it from getting to that point?
That's where I know the judge has recommended, and actually it's our expert sort of infectious disease experts, public health experts, epidemiology experts that are recommending that we really need to go sort of pull back for 30 days, not all the way back like we started out, but, in a stay home, stay safe sort of manner where we really get that universal masking, physical distancing, limit events such as, limit indoor gatherings to 10 persons, limit the outdoor gatherings to 100 persons, go back on the restaurants to really just have the restaurants do just takeout again or outdoor patios type a service where you can keep the physical distancing, and then, having to close some of these indoor settings that are really higher risk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.